Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Leighton Branding. I'm your host, John Robert Gallagher. And today I'll be talking about the concepts of finding and creating audiences. So rather than framing audiences as something you already have, I'm going to be talking about how to inculcate them and encourage them to participate with you. So once again, welcome back to Leighton Branding, everybody. So if you're a regular listener of this podcast, you know that I specialize in developing different ways to think about your audience. I generally frame audiences as participatory and interactive. It's sort of the paradigm, I believe, of the 21st century. It was important in the 20th century as well, but up probably until the 1960s and the 70s, we generally perceived audiences as passive, primarily because of the particular medium that we communicated in. So if you had TV, the audience couldn't participate with TV at all. If you had books, obviously readers are considered extraordinarily passive in terms of books, even though we know some of this isn't true. H.J. Jackson's Marginalia, as well as William Sherman's book, Used Books, both of these books talk about how readers in the Renaissance were participatory as well. But for the most part, audiences have been fairly static and passive in terms of their ability to participate with the content producer, the writer, video producer, director, whatever you want to sort of think about there. So one of the fundamental premises of this podcast and my own research as an academic and as someone who just thinks about media more generally is that we are trying to think about how audiences are inherently participatory and encourage ways to get them to interact. And this is a paradigm shift that's only happened in probably the last 30 years, and it's become even more important with the rise of various kinds of social media, as well as video chat forums, just the idea of producing enough JavaScript interactions on your web page to get some sense of who the audience is. And so today, I'm going to be riffing off of this idea of rather than framing your audience as something you have and trying to learn about them in that sense, right? You already have them, so you want to do market research on them or figure out what they want to read or hear. I'm going to frame it as you don't have an audience. You always have to find an audience, and you also have to create an audience. And so I'm going to talk about create/find an audience. And there's that slash is important because as content producers, you're always doing both of those things at the same time. And I take my inspiration of that slash between create and find from a very canonical piece in my field that's titled Audience Address and Audience Invoked by scholars named Eden Lunsford. And this piece is fairly canonical in writing studies because it tries to think about the way writers perceive the concrete reality of their readers, as well as the rhetorical role they're trying to persuade and move their audience into. And writers are doing both of those things at the same time. And I'm extending that paradigm into this idea of create and find, create/find, for content production and writing on the web. And so I think this is a useful and applicable theory of audience, an idea for audience, because when we write blogs, when we produce podcasts, when we create YouTube channels, when we are just generating content across various kinds of platforms, we need to think about audiences as not inherently there, but as part one, we need to create a decorum, a basis, a foundation for which audiences can be created and will want to grow and flourish and interact and participate. And then simultaneously, we also need to find them. So we need to pull the audience to our website. We need to entice them to find us, and we need to show them that there is this kind of content for them. So again, the paradigm here is create/find. So part one, creating an audience. How do you create an audience? Well, there's a couple of steps that I always tell my web development students. And I think the fundamental premise here is that you need to not think about your audience as inherently there, but as needing to find a welcoming place. So what you need to be able to do is you need to create a set of content first without the audience in mind. And then here's the important part. When you start having audiences, when you start getting hits, then you revise some of that content. And so one of the fundamental premises behind the act of creation and creating audiences is that you already have some sort of content in mind, and you have to think about the audience as not being there. And so you have to create what is what I call an expectation and a decorum for a certain type of audience to form and grow. The metaphor I always use is a garden, and you're trying to create the setting, the context, the right soil for an audience to grow, which means, of course, that you need to have things like comment functions. You need to choose a certain type of interface. If you don't have the ability to design your own interface, you could use a variety of different plugins, and you could buy different interfaces, but you have to think about how the interface will shape your audience participation and therefore create a specific kind of audience. Let's use an example here, Twitter. Twitter's interface has remained relatively static, and it's not particularly good. Why isn't it particularly good? Because it encourages a type of decorum and expectation of snarkiness, and your audience and your various audiences can't engage you on a high level because of the 140 character limit. Now, there are, of course, hacks and ways around it, but one of the important parts of this is that the interface itself is creating a certain type of audience, a type of audience that is prone to sarcasm, to snarkiness, it limits the level of engagement that the audience on Twitter can have. Now, let's turn to another example where you have something like Snapchat, where there are limits to the video, but video is inherent to Snapchat. So one of the things that Snapchat creates is intimacy. So millennials and people who are born post 2000 think about Snapchat as much more intimate because the interface is creating that intimacy. And so what you end up getting is Snapchat creates a type of audience that is open to and receptive of intimacy, whereas Snapchat is prone to anonymity, snarkiness, trolling, vitriol, racism, homophobia. So that's a certain type of way you can create an audience through your interface. You can also create an audience by responding to the limited set of audience that you get. But this brings us to part two of this construct, finding an audience. And finding an audience is oftentimes in my head and things I tell my students is that when you are trying to find an audience, this echoes the idea of targeting an audience, which comes out of marketing and advertising. I avoid the idea of targeting an audience because it's geared towards a more corporate version of content creation, and I'm focused on good content. I'm not necessarily focused on good marketing, even though some of what I say is applicable there. So let's talk about how you find an audience. The first step in finding audiences is seeking out websites, communities, and forums where you think your content would be able to be well received, well read, well heard, whatever you want. And obviously you drop the URL and the link in and around those communities. But you don't just drop the link and you don't just randomly insert yourself into these communities. You have to become part of the communities. And so in this sense, finding an audience is as much becoming your own audience and understanding how the people you want to reach think, feel, value, think about some of their ideologies. And so part of the idea of finding an audience is becoming your own audience and learning to differentiate your own production process of content with the reception, distribution, and circulation. You have to be able to take on the role of audience when you're trying to find the people and users that you want to reach. So a lot of times what I say is there's no good way to do this other than to start practicing it. And what you need to be able to do is you create your content and then you take a break. And then you read, listen, watch your content maybe a day or two or even just a few hours later. And so you move from producer to consumer, receiver, And then once you've processed your content, move back to producer. So finding audiences is as much an oscillation of producer to consumer, back and forth between those two things, in order to develop content and find an audience. Further, you could do other things. You could survey people about what kinds of weaknesses are in your content. You could also, even more importantly, beyond surveys, you could start monitoring the various types of responses you get and take notes, start a spreadsheet. You could run some analytics. Analytics are always useful, but analytics by themselves are not inherently useful. So one of the things that I always have people do is produce some sort of visualization story about your analytics and try to tell yourself a story about what your audiences are doing. And that way you can better identify and find the valuable audiences, the people who are reading lots of your content. You might look at not just page views and comments, but about page length visits. So who's staying the longest? Where are they coming from? And then you can tailor your audience needs to what kind of content you're producing. But there's a secret third part to this, and it's that slash that I'm talking about. So you create an audience and you find an audience, but you're always doing those things at the same time. They're happening in synchronicity. Again, I go back to this idea of, I think about these two ideas, creating and finding, as the helix strands and DNA concept. So, you know, there's a double helix in the DNA, and you're trying to do both of those things at the same time. So when you create an audience, you are also at the same time trying to find an audience. And when you go out searching for an audience on the internet, you are at the same time creating one. And so you're doing both of these things at the same time. So I'm going to end with an actual practical workshop that you could do for yourself, as well as your teammates or, you know, the other people in your company. Think about and actually write down who you're trying to find and who and how you're going to create an audience through decorum and expectation. But this is important. And do this probably on a marker board or someplace where it's big so you can sort of erase very easily. Get off the screen. Try to find common themes between the one list of creation versus the other list of find. What are some of those things that are shared between those two lists? And that brainstorming session will lead you to think more concretely about your audience while also thinking more about how you want to persuade your audience, going back to audience addressed and audience invoked. So I'm going to end on this sort of side note here, is that we're constantly striving to reach an audience and make a better message. Audiences are inherently participatory now due to social media, but it's always important to engage this act of creation and finding on a consistent basis. So it's not something you do once. It's not something you do at any particular moment in the production process or in the content process. It's something you do throughout. So in the sense in which, you know, you don't do a feasibility report at one point, but you might do multiple feasibility reports, thinking about your audience as stretching across the entire production cycle, as well as the distribution cycle, and importantly, across the entire circulation cycle, that will help you to develop better audience, better messages tailored for your audience. All right. So once again, I'm your host, John Robert Gallagher. This has been Leighton Branding. If you would like to contact me, my email is johnrgallagher@gmail.com, and my Twitter handle is @MirSophistry. Once again, thanks for listening.